conditions. Unless they would have got out of the way, he couldn't have got out of the pew. Look at that. See how that fits right there, right? Conditional. Or if. We have conditional. Look at this. I would, might have eaten this unless it hadn't been opened. As it lays up here. Just kidding. How often do we use that, unless? You're not going to get any dessert unless you finish what's on your plate. Conditions. You're not going to get a paycheck unless you show up. Okay? Or unless you have showed up for so many years. God's Word uses the word unless multiple times for multiple topics. And for what I would like for us to do this morning is be reminded by God's Holy Word that there are some conditions, and unless we decide to do certain things won't happen. And as we can tell in our lesson text this morning, unless we repent, folks, unless we make a change, sin will still affect our lives. Sin will still control us. We will not be under the lordship of our Lord and Savior, Jesus. We had a lesson a while back about worse sinners. Who's a worse sinner? You know? And I think for us to remember, folks, it's personal. Unless you repent. This passage doesn't say unless Tom repents. Okay? Or unless Brother DC repents. Brother Ed repents. It says unless you, Jesus. I love it when it's red letter. You can argue with Jesus if you want. I'm not going to do that. Not even unless I have a good reason. I am not going to argue with Jesus. He's my Lord and Savior. He is the great I am. You likewise perish. Very simple. Condition, condition, condition. But we don't use, you know what? How often do you hear somebody... And I tell people this quite often. Oh, I used to, you know, I hear stories about life and about sin, about partying, about evil. And I've used that opportunity multiple times in my life to say, I've repented of that many years ago. Or I used the term, I've repented of that many moons ago. Or I might even say, 31 years ago, I repented of that. Kind of say, I know what it's like, but I'm not going back there. I have repented of that. I've made a change. Now, am I done making a change? No, last week's lesson, God's not finished with us yet. It's a continual thing to repent. Continual thing to say, Satan, get behind me. What happens if you quit putting fuel in your car? Notice I said fuel, not gasoline, because some of us drive different things, but... What happens if you do that? What happens if you quit eating? You're going to get sick. You're not going to go anywhere. What happens if you stop repenting? If you stop making a change in your life to follow Jesus for certain things? If you stop giving something up? Have you given up all you're going to give up for Jesus? Or are there still some things you need to work on? There's still things in my life I need to work on, folks. Unless you repent. Psalms 21:27 is written, unless the Lord builds the house, they labor in vain who build it. And unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for he who gives his beloved sleep. So I ask us this morning, unless the Lord is the Lord built your house. Is the Lord building your house, your spiritual house? Not only your physical house, your means, your jobs, your careers, the things he's given you, but what about your spiritual house? Is God guarding your heart? Or are you guarding your own heart? Have you given your heart over to him? That's a tough thing to do, folks. It is. It's a rewarding thing. It's a good thing. You have blessings shower down upon you when you do that. But this verse says, unless the Lord builds a house, it's in vain. Unless you include Jesus in your daily activities. Unless you include prayer in your daily activities. Unless you gather together on the first day of the week to remember what Jesus did for us. And that's why I say I love you all each and every morning, because you are reminders to me that you are the house that God is building. If we wouldn't gather every first day of the week, I don't know if I'd ever see Bob again. I might, but I don't frequent Frankfurt, except for worship service, and going to Rural King. I just don't. There's other stores and other places, and I got to travel, and I'll stop by on the way home from work. That's just the way it is. God, in his infinite wisdom, has said, gather on the first day of the week to remember me. Unless the Lord builds your house, unless the Lord guards your city. Psalms 27, it says, teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me in a smooth path because of my enemies. Do not deliver me to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and such as breathe out violence. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord. So, do you think Job expected to see the goodness of the Lord when he was here on earth? Yes. Did he experience some unpleasant things in his life? Yes. Do you think Job ever quit believing that God would be faithful to him and he would see goodness of his Lord? He never gave up that. He never gave up that faith. Unless I had believed. Unless I continue to walk by faith. Unless we believe. How many of us have planned out this the first day of the week, as we call it? How many of us have planned out this week and expecting what God's going to do for us? Have you expected the goodness of the Lord this week? And it's convicting to me. I need to ask him, what do you got planned for me, God? How am I going to walk by you? What am I going to do for the kingdom of heaven? Who am I going to be able to share my faith with this week? Matthew chapter 5, it is written, Jesus said, do not think that I came to destroy the law or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For surely I say to you, till heaven and earth pass away, not one jot or one tittle will by no means pass away from the law till all is fulfilled. Whoever therefore breaks one of the least of these commandments and teaches men so shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whoever does and teaches them shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. You've heard it said, to those of old you shall not murder, and whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. But I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother Raca shall be in danger of the council. But whoever says, you fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if you bring your gift to the altar, and there remember your brother has something against you, leave your gift there before the altar and go your way. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and offer your gift. So, highlighted, unless your righteousness exceeds the scribes and the Pharisees. So what righteousness is that? How would I understand? Unless it's in your heart. You can do all the motions in the world, and you can try and fake it until you make it. And I've heard that preached before. Sometimes that's not a bad deal. I'm going to fake it because I know I need to be here. I don't feel like it. Sadducees and Pharisees didn't teach the people to follow God from the heart, from the law. And that's the difference. That's what Jesus is saying. You follow me not because you read the do's and don'ts, but because you love me and you understand it's the right thing to do. You follow me through the heart. Unless your righteousness exceeds them. You can know all the good things and right things to do, but unless you put them to practice in your heart, unless you make Jesus the Lord and Savior of your life, you'll follow him. That's the difference between Christians and the Sadducees and the Pharisees. It's good to have the righteousness of the Sadducees and the Pharisees, but Jesus says, unless you put it to practice in your heart. Jesus also said in Matthew 18, it is written, at that time the disciples came to Jesus saying, who then is greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Jesus called a little child to him, set him in the midst of them, and said, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as a little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Whoever receives one little child like this in my name receives me. But whoever causes one of these little ones who believe in me to sin, it would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were drowned in the depth of the sea. Woe to the world because of offenses, for offenses must come, but woe to that man whom the offenses comes. If your hand or your foot causes you to sin, cut it off and cast it from you. It is better for you to enter life maimed, or lame or maimed, rather than having two hands or two feet and be cast into everlasting fire. And if your eye causes you to sin, pluck it out, cast it from you. It is better for you to enter into life with one eye rather than have two eyes or be cast into hell fire. Very unique. You think it's unique by chance, or you think it's a providence of God that we looked at a bunch of these passages in Bible class this morning? Totally separate, folks. God's holy word works in our lives, wants us to get a double dose of some of this stuff today. Unless you become converted and become as little children. I don't know about you, but I've had people tell me, don't talk to me like I'm a child. And yet there's multiple times in my life I felt that way. But when it comes to the kingdom of heaven and recognizing our Heavenly Father, it's a good thing to become as a little child. To be humble, to need him, to want him, to talk to him, to have your heart open. I look at the children that are here today and their world is wide open to them. Their minds and their hearts. They have so much freedom in their lives. I love to see the children. But unless we do the same thing, we get rid of those burdens, we repent, we get rid of sins in our lives. You know, Jesus says, unless you become as little children, you say, well, how am I going to do that? Then he talks about offenses. And you notice, folks, brothers and sisters in Christ, very important point, and I need to take note of it too, right here, okay? And if your eye causes you to sin, it's better pluck it out, cast it from you. It doesn't say, if Greg's eye causes me to sin, I need to come over and start looking and getting a scalpel out. Right? Jesus says, if your eye, it's self-examination. When it says examine yourselves, it doesn't mean examine each other. I'm wasting my time when I examine you. That's God's business, folks. That's what God's word does as we open it. It's examining us and examining our hearts. Not only that, we are best at recognizing those things that cause us to sin. Here's another thing. Unless your righteousness exceeds that of the Sadducees and the Pharisees, they had all the outward appearance going on. They had the respect of the community, the respect of the people. They had the power. They were the religious authority. But yet, their eyes, their hands, their feet, their hearts. Personal. It's personal. It's a personal thing to repent. Unless you repent. Unless you convert and become like little children. As much as I want Bob to be like a little child, I cannot make Bob. He's going to have to do it on his own. That's the neat thing about God's holy word and the power in it. It touches each and every one of our hearts. Nothing else in the world can do that but God, because He created us. John chapter 3 is written, there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, most assuredly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Unless one is born again, unless one is born of water and of the Spirit. John 6 is written, Jesus therefore answered and said to them, do not murmur among yourselves. No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at that last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. Therefore, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. This scripture means to me this morning, unless the Father who sent me draws him. Folks, we've all been drawn this morning by God. This passage, not completely fulfilled, but partially at least. This truth in this passage is fulfilled this morning as we're drawn together. God draws us together to listen to Him, to understand Him. There are people that aren't drawn today, and typically what happens? How come you didn't go to church today? Murmur. How come you're not coming to Jesus? Murmur. God's word just points out that truth to us. Remember that, folks. When we start murmuring about something, we start making excuses why we're not following Jesus. John 15, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit, for without me you can do nothing. I can attest to that. Each and every time I try to do something without Jesus in my life, without thinking about Jesus, I make a mistake. Or it doesn't go as well as it could have. Or I don't see the big picture. How many of us want to go through life not seeing the big picture? Nobody. Nobody wants to go through life with blinders on. Now, we act like it sometimes. But we don't. And the best way to go through life is to be abiding in the vine, to abide in Jesus, to be following Him, to make sure our hearts are open. Our righteousness is far greater than the Sadducees and the Pharisees. That's the neat thing about Jesus coming. As wise as Solomon it was, And David and the prophets that came and wrote things to explain God to us, Jesus came and said, apply it to your heart. You can do it. I'm going to show you how to do it. It can be done. And I want to be the example. Lucas, how many times in my life have I been a good example to you? That's my son. You give me a percentage. I don't care. He'd have to reflect. 70, 80, 90%, 95%. Okay? But see, he's having a hard time thinking to himself, do you as dad? What percent would I give you? Would I give you 50%? Good example. 85, 90, 99%. Or does he only think about the times when he didn't prefer for me to be his example? Whatever percentage that is, and that's okay, son. Thank you for the point that's been proven or brought to light. But with Jesus, folks, we can't do that. I don't want Jesus to be my example 95% of the time. 100% of the time. I don't want to bear a cross. You better abide in him. You better be a vine. I don't want to forgive my enemies. You better abide in him. I don't want to give of my means. I don't want to forgive. I could go on and on and on. Abide in me, Jesus said. He is such a great and perfect example for us. Precious, precious, precious. So Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless someone guides me? And he asked Philip to come and sit with him. The place in the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to slaughter and as a lamb before its shearers silent, so he opened not his mouth. Obviously, folks, our title of our lesson this morning is Unless Someone Guides Me. Unless someone guides me. Philip. How many of us would think of Philip as an example? When's the last time you've ran to someone, folks, and said, can I help you? Be guided by the Word of God. Can I help you understand Jesus? Unless someone guides me. God is pleading with us to guide folks to him in our lives, folks. It's our last passage this morning, the lesson's yours. For though he was crucified in weakness, yet he lives by the power of God. For we also are weak in him, but we shall live with him by the power of God towards you. Examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified. But I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. Lucas is taking a summer class. Thanks for being a lesson object this morning again twice, son. He's got some exams to take, but he's taking tests all the time. So if I was asking, you know, test yourself. When's the last time you tested yourself, folks? Do you plan on testing yourselves this week? When you say no to Satan, you've been tested. Do you not know yourselves that Jesus Christ is in you, unless you're disqualified? It's good to be here, unless you're not part of the vine. It's good to be here unless you've been disqualified. Unless you repent, unless the Lord builds the house, unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord, unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, unless you are converted to become as little children. Unless one is born again, born of water and of spirit. Unless the Father who sent me draws him. Unless it abides in the vine. Unless you abide in me. Unless someone guides me. Unless indeed you're disqualified. Those of you that are not disqualified, thank you so much for your faith and being encouragement and edifying one another. If you feel like you're disqualified this morning, we plead with you to make that right in your heart with God. If you have not been born again of the water and the Spirit, have your sins washed away in the waters of baptism, come in contact with the blood of Christ. We invite you to do so this morning as we stand and sing a selected song.